Hare Krishna, I welcome all the devotees to our Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call of our Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Today we are very happy to have with us Her Grace Kittida Sundari Mataji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela 5.146 onwards. Hare Krishna Kittida Mataji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glory to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for joining the session and giving your very valuable time and association, Mataji, and enlightening on the topic of Antya Leela. I now hand over the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Nama Supriya Mataji, and thank you so much for all the devotees. Thank you, Shyam Supriya Mataji, for beautiful welcoming, warm welcoming everybody. And I am really grateful to every one of you for sparing your valuable time to attend this session. Thank you all so much. So let's get started now. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jayo Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jayo Nityananda Jayo Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Santya Leela, Chapter 5. Entitled Ramananda Rai Instructs Pradyumna Mishra, and today we'll do text number 46 onwards, and Krishna willing, we'll try to finish off this whole chapter. So it's text number 146. Ei mata shishupala kharila nindana sei vakya saraswati kare nastavana. Shishupal also blasphemed Krishna in this way, but the goddess of learning, Saraswati, offered her prayers to Krishna even by his words. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Charu Swami Niti Namini Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukam Karoti Vachalam, Pangum Langayate, Giram Yat Kripahatam Ham Vandi, Shri Guru Dinatari. Guru Ve Gaura Chandraya, Radhikaya Tadale, Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya, Tat Bhaktaya Namo Namah. So Hare Krishna everyone. Today we are, hopefully we'll conclude this chapter, and it's Antya Leela, so deep. So I really seek all your blessings, wishes and prayers to shower that heartfelt blessings, prayers and wishes, and so that I may speak something relevant and convey the right message as being conveyed by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, our dear Srila Prabhupada, and all the senior acharyas, and this session may be totally for the purification of myself and of course in the glorification of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So with that note, we can start. I hope my voice is good. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so Shishupal also blasphemed Krishna in this way, but the goddess of learning Saraswati offered her prayers to Krishna even by his words. So let's see the context why this verse was spoken. So we know we have been attending this session regularly. So we know that this verse was spoken by Swarup Damodar Goswami to a Brahmana. So there was, you know, just a quick recap within 2-3 minutes. So there was a Brahmana who came from Bengal, and he wrote a drama on the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he came to Puri, to Jagannath Puri, and there he stayed with Bhagwan Acharya's place. And then Bhagwan Acharya, you know, he recommended him to Swarup Damodar Goswami, that, you know, he was insisting to Swarup Damodar Goswami that at least please once hear what he wants to say. And because it was at that time, the thing was that if anybody wants to write something, some poem, something about the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then it has to go through Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Swarup Damodar Goswami analyze it properly, and then it's finally introduced to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bhagwan Acharya also in the similar way insisted Swarup Damodar Goswami to please at least listen to what, you know, he has written, the drama. And then Swarup Goswami, after being insisted for a couple of times, he finally asked that Brahmana, okay, tell me the Nandi Shloka. It means the introductory verse of your drama. So we have already covered that drama should have introductory verse, where in that introductory verse, there is an auspiciousness, there is a Mangalacharana, which has been mentioned, in which, you know, once Ishtadev is being glorified. So the Brahmana, he said, and he quoted a beautiful verse, and that verse was very beautifully covered by his Hariparshad Prabhu. And so after hearing that verse, Swarup Damodar Goswami doesn't want to conclude anything. So he said, okay, you have quoted that verse, that introductory verse, that Nandi Shloka. Now, can you please elaborate the meaning, what you want to say? And that, you know, really disappointed Swarup Damodar Goswami, because what he wrote was that Jagannath, he compared Jagannath to be a dull matter or to be a body, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the soul who resides in that dull matter of Jagannath's body and finally gives and finally awakens it and, you know, brings it to life. So that was his mood. And when Swarup Damodar Goswami heard the interpretation of his shloka, he said, you are a fool. How you can do that? You have really no knowledge of who is Jagannath and who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how come that you have compared the body, you know, Jagannath as a body, and that too as a dull matter? So do you mean to say that Jagannath's body is a destructible body and it is just composed of some external energy of the Lord? And then finally, Mahaprabhu is just an ordinary living being who has accepted to go into that Jagannath's body and bring Jagannath's body to life. No, what are you talking about? You are comparing the whole fire to be just a spark, because the living entity is a spark, whereas Krishna is the fire, and we are part and parcel of Krishna. So he said, you are comparing Mahaprabhu as an ordinary living entity. And then this way, you know, he literally chastised, and he said that you have committed a great offense against, you know, to Lord Jagannath and to, of course, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and therefore you are going to attain hellish destination. Your destination is fixed, and you are going to get that hellish destination because you are in complete illusion and you have no understanding who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Jagannath. You are basically distinguishing them as one as the body and the other as a soul, which is a great offense. And then he said that actually for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no distinction between the body and the soul, because for Supreme Lord, everything is on to the absolute plane. Like we see that there is, normally we say that there is no difference between Krishna's name, his form, his qualities, his pastimes. Because for Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is on the absolute plane. So how come you are comparing Krishna's body to be different from Krishna's soul? There is no distinction between the body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this way he was simply chastising that Brahman, and that Brahman also felt so much ashamed, and he understood that he has committed a great offense. And then finally seeing the poets, that Brahmana's unhappiness, then Swarup Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he naturally, because he was so kind-hearted, he advised him that you should actually read Srimad Bhagavatam, should understand Bhagavatam under the care of Vaishnavas. And he quoted, Yaha Bhagavate Pada Vaishnava Sthane Ekanta Ashrakare Chaitanya Charan, that you have to approach a self-realized Vaishnava and hear Srimad Bhagavatam and understand, have the right understanding of the Supreme Lord, of who Lord, who Bhagavan is. And then you can finally take shelter unto the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then after instructing him in this way, Swarup Damodar Goswami said that actually you have written something very much irregular, because you don't know exactly the philosophy behind it. But, you know, the goddess of learning, Saraswati Devi, she is so kind that she used to take those words and she used to offer it to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's the kindness of Saraswati Devi. And to explain this, that how the words can have a different meaning altogether. And that's where, you know, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he asked actually Brahmana, that fine, you have quoted your introductory verse, now tell me the real meaning of it. And when he heard the meaning, he got upset. And then he quoted the right meaning, you know, the right understanding, that actually it's not, Jagannath's body is not a dull matter. Everything is onto an absolute plane. And later he'll explain that also. We'll come to that point. But right now, then he said that actually Saraswati Devi is so kind that she used these words to offer prayers to the Supreme Lord. And then, you know, he quoted the pastime, Swarup Damodar Goswami, he quoted the pastime of Indra, that how Indra also, you know, quoted that verse. I'm pretty sure the previous speaker must have covered. Vachalam balisham staptam ajnam panditamaninam, where Indra was saying that Krishna is vachalam, means he is very talkative. Balisham, he is childish. Then staptam, he is arrogant. And ajnam, he is ignorant. Panditamaninam, that he thinks himself to be some learned scholar. But Saraswati Devi, when she presented it the same thing to Krishna, altogether the meaning gets changed. She says, Vachalam, yes, Krishna is Vachalam, because there is no one who can speak like you, because Krishna is the knower of all the Vedas. So there is no one who can speak like Krishna. Balisham, yes, Krishna is, he's saying that Krishna is childish, but Saraswati is saying that Krishna, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but still he has accepted that human form of life. He has accepted that childlike position to fulfill the Vatsalya, to basically pull the Vatsalya strings of the devotees in Vrindavan. So, you know, that's why he appeared as childlike. So he's so magnanimous. So he's childlike, he's not childish. Then staptam, he is arrogant. So arrogant means that he's so impudent, he's arrogant. He doesn't listen to, he doesn't bow down to anyone. So to that, because he was expecting that, you know, everybody should offer prayers to me. Indra was expecting that. And when Krishna spoiled all his plans, so Indra is saying, you are stubborn, you are arrogant, you don't bow down to anyone. And Saraswati Devi said that you don't need to bow down because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then he says, Agnam, you are basically foolish, you are ignorant. And then to that Saraswati Devi said that, you know, yes, you are Agnam, because there is no knowledge that you don't know. Nothing is unknown from you. And finally he says that you are Pandita Maninam. You think yourself to be the Pandita. So there Saraswati Devi said that, yes, that's the conclusion of the Vedas, that you are the real Pandit. You are the real Pandit. So this way, you know, Swarup Damodar Goswami quoted about Indra, and then finally he also quoted about Jarasandh, that how Jarasandh chastised Krishna, but Saraswati Devi took it altogether a different meaning, and that became the glorification, and that we have already covered yesterday. So now we'll go to this verse 146, that Shishupal, then he gave the example, Surab Damodar Goswami, he gave the example of Shishupal, that how Shishupal also blasphemed Krishna, but the goddess of learning, Saraswati, offered her prayers to Krishna even by his words. So we'll see that how and what Shishupal said and how it was transformed. So I'll share my screen with all of you. Hope you will be able to see. So, okay. So this is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 74 and verse 34. 33 and 34 are combined. So I'm just talking about 34. And we all know Shishupal, who is, you know, his mother is basically the sister of Vasudev. So in that way, they are connected. They are cousins, right? Krishna and Shishupal are cousins because Vasudev's sister's son, just like Kunti Devi. So Shishupal was also the son of Krishna's father's sister. So there, you know, we all know the story, history, that in how Shishupal was born with four hands and three eyes. But then the divine celestial voice came that whosoever will be the cause of removing his two hands and one eye will be also the cause of his death. So, you know, there was a huge assembly that was arranged and he was put in the lap of everybody just when he was a child. And finally, Krishna and Balaram came. And then Krishna took him on his lap and his two hands and one eye got disappeared. And then her mother, you know, she literally pleaded Krishna that you will be the one who will be killing my son. So kindly, please, is it possible for you to excuse him? And then Krishna promises that I'll spare him for 100 times. 100 times I'll spare him all his, you know, misdeeds, his activities, because each activity will be worth of being killed. But I'll spare him 100 times. But after that, you know, I'm bound because something which is inevitable. Then we all know that how Yudhishthir Maharaj, he arranged Rajasuya Yagya. And at that time, you know, many kings were invited and Shishupal too was invited. And we all know that how Yudhishthir Maharaj gave a special position being the supreme lord of the Purushottama, the position of Purushottama to Krishna. And seeing that, Shishupal was really, you know, he got furious and he then started blaspheming Krishna. So let's see what he's saying. He's saying, Sadaspati Nati Kramaya Gopala Kula Pampum Kamishana Yatha Kaka Purudosha Purudasham Sapareyam Katham Arhati. So what he wants to say is, how does this cowherd boy, Gopalaha, who is Kulapumsha, who is a disgrace to his family, he deserve your worship? Because he's just like a kaka, he's like a crow, more than a crow deserves to eat a purodasam. Purodasam is the offering that has been given to the demigods. So how you can treat this, how can this boy can be treated as the Purushottama and should be given a very special place in that Rajasuya Yagya. So let's see how Saraswati Devi now, takes it to it and she says, Gopala. Gopala, we know that it's a cowherd boy. Go and Pala. Go means Vedas. Go means cows and Pala means who protects. But so that's why the meaning comes to Gopala. But Go also means Vedas and Pala means protector. So one who protects the Vedas is also known as Gopala. So Shishupal was basically glorifying Lord Shri Krishna. That's what Saraswati, Goddess Saraswati says. And it's all being described by Sridhar Swami in his commentary. Then the next words is Kula Pamshana. So what Shishupal wants to say that he brings disgrace to one's family. So one who brings disgrace to one's family is Kula Pamshana. And there, how these words are bifurcated, we'll see. So Saraswati Devi take it as Kula Pamshana. Kula Pam. So kulapam and amshana. So kulapam means indicate those who prattle with crooked words, which is contrary to the Vedas. And amshana comes from the word amshati. So that means the destroyer. So kulapam is basically means those who talk foolishly, those who don't know what they are talking. Okay, their words are crooked and they're always contrary to the Vedas. So that's the meaning of kulapam. So she is not taking as kulapamshana, right? She's taking as kulapam and amshana, that one who talks rubbish, one who talks foolish. And amshana means amshati, destroyer. So the meaning she brings it is he who vanquishes all misguided and frivolous speculations about the nature of truth. So he is a destroyer of such kind of people who just speak something which is contrary to the Vedas. So that's the meaning she brought in. Then yathakaka means that, you know, he wants to say, Shishupal wants to say, you're just like a crow in an assembly. So yatha akakaha. So that's what Saraswati said. And yatha kakaha. So yatha means like, we all know. Kakaha, she takes a ka plus akaha. So ka in Sanskrit dictionary, if you look in, ka also means material happiness. And since a is added to ka, so akaha means miseries. So material happiness and miseries. So there the meaning comes that Krishna is akakaha in the sense that he is beyond all material miseries and happiness because he is in a pure transcendental platform. So this is how when Shishupal was was blaspheming Krishna, how Saraswati, she took all his words and she finally presented to Krishna as the glorification of Krishna. So then Swarup Damodar Goswami said that in this way, your verse is also so blasphemous according to your meaning, what the meaning you interpreted. But Mother Saraswati has taken an advantage of it and she has offered those words as a form of a prayer to the Supreme Lord. So the point what here we can understand is that it's not only about when somebody blasphemes Krishna and Saraswati Devi, you know, she brings it up as an offering, as a prayer offering to Krishna. But even if Krishna's devotees are being chastised in such way, then also Saraswati Devi backs up while offering those words as a prayers. So even for the devotee, she is so considerate. And for that, we have a very classic example of Hiranyakashipu, how Hiranyakashipu also blasphemed Prahlad Maharaj, but Saraswati Devi stepped in and she offered those words as a prayers to Prahlad Maharaj and glorification to Prahlad Maharaj. So we'll just quickly see even this too, that Sri Hiranyakashipu vacha, hey durvinita mandatmam kulabheda karadhama stabdham, sthabdam machanu sodvatadam neshetvadyam yamakshayam. So Hiranyakashipu said, O most impudent, durvinita, most unintelligent, mandatmam, kula bheda karadhama, you are disruptor to the family. Then you are adhama, you are lowest of mankind. You are sthabdam, you are so arrogant. You have violated my rule, my power. Then he's saying, Neshe Twada Shamasyam, and therefore you are such an obstinate fool, you are stubborn. Today I shall send you to the place of Yamaraj. So this is what Hiranyakashipu is telling. So it's just, you know, the last time when Prahlad Maharaj came, and then still Prahlad Maharaj was not answering to Hiranyakashipu's question as per his expectation. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj was simply glorifying Vishnu. And then Hiranyakashipu was so angry. And then he said that he said all these words. And then finally he said, I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to send you to the place of Yamaraj. So let's see how Saraswati Devi, she converts these words. Durvinita. Durvinita means ungentle, who is uncivilized, who is impudent. So she converts it as du plus v plus nita. Right? And du is material world, like we all say, it's a dukkhalayam, dukkhalayam, right? It's the material world is also known as du. And v means vishesha rupena, we all know. And nita means brought in. So very specifically, O Prahlad Maharaj, you are brought in into this material world. So by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was specially brought to this material world to teach people how to get out of this material condition. So therefore, he is Durvinita. So what Hiranyakashipu wants to say that he's ungentle, he's impudent, he's arrogant. But here, Saraswati Devi, she offered the in glorification of Prahlad Maharaj, she said, oh no, he's not ungentle, he's not impudent, rather it's by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Prahlad Maharaj was specifically brought in this material world to get out, to teach people, to help people to get out of this material condition. Next word is mandatmanam, stupid, you are stupid fool. That's what Hiranyakashipu meant. But here we say manda plus atamam. So manda, we all know the meaning of manda is lazy, right? We know that manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya. That how we are in Kali Yuga, all the jivas are manda. And they are so manda matayo. Even their mata, their intelligence is so manda. It's super lazy. And even their fortune, their bhagya is also very manda, is very slow, very low. So very bad or very slow in spiritual realization is known as manda. And atman means atman, the another meaning of atman as per Sanskrit dictionary is faculty or teacher, you can say. Right? So manda atmam. So he who is, Prahlad Maharaj is the guide, is the teacher, is the faculty of all the mandas or bad living entities who are always under the influence of maya. So that's what Saraswati Devi said. Then kula bheda kara dhamma. So that means here what he is saying is that you are most unintelligent disruptor of the family. Kula bheda kara dhamma. That's what Hiranyakashipu said. Now we'll see that we'll bifurcate this word is kul abheda, then kara, then dhamma. Okay. So kula means family. Abheda. Abheda means a plus bheda. So we know that abheda, abheda tattva, that achinta bheda, bheda tattva. So a and bheda. Bheda means to differentiate. A who doesn't differentiate. There is no differentiation. And kara means to do work, some doing some activity. And dhamma, the word dhamma means a kind of superior human beings. So it's adhama means lowest, but dhamma means super human beings. So what Saraswati Devi is saying that Prahlad Maharaj was so liberal that he made no distinction between one living entity and another. And therefore he was greater. He was a kind of a superhuman being who was greater than all the great Prajapatis who established their dynasties. Then the word he said is stabdham. So Hiranyakashipu is saying you are stabdham, you are obstinate. But another meaning of stabdham is to remain silent or to remain immovable. And here a devotee doesn't care for the instructions of the asuras or the instructions of the non-devotees. When they gave instructions, the devotee always remains silent. They become titikshava, they tolerate it. So another meaning is to remain silent. Then Yamashayam, he's saying that today I'm going to kill you and show you the place of Yamaraj. I'm going to take you to the place of Yamaraj. Yama means Yamaraj and Shayam means place, abode of Yamaraj. But here, Shama also means to diminish, to deprive of. That's another meaning of Shama. So what Hiranyakashipu is saying that you are Yamashayam means you are the one, you will be the one who will deprive me to get an interview with Yamaraj. Means you will be the one who will remove me, who will relieve me from this cycle of birth and death. Hiranyakashipu said that he considered Prahlad Maharaj his deliverer of Prahlad, for Prahlad would stop Hiranyakashipu's repetition of birth and death, because he will be the one who will deprive Hiranyakashipu to get an interview with Yamaraj. So these are, you know, some words that I just want to share, that this is how Saraswati Devi, she takes up and she offered all her prayers in glorification of not only the Supreme Lord, but she also doesn't take a step back when it comes to the devotees. She even want to praise the devotees and glorify the devotees. And in that way, you know, Sarup Damodar Goswami said that your verse is so blasphemous according to your meaning that you interpreted, but Saraswati Devi has taken it to offer some prayers to the Supreme Lord. So he was basically glorifying. So then he said, there is no difference between Lord Jagannath and Krishna, but here Lord Jagannath is fixed as the absolute person appearing in wood. Therefore, he does not move. So remember what we were talking about, that how that Brahmana poet said that the body of Jagannath is like a dull matter. But here he is saying that Swarup Damodar Goswami is telling that the body of Jagannath is not like a dull matter. You should never consider him as a dull matter. Okay. It's just that Jagannath preferred to appear in a form of a wood, but he is fully conscious and he decided to become so immovable. So we know the form of Jagannath. So that also, you know, we know that how in Skanda Purana it is also being described. I'll just briefly touch upon the pastime, that how Jagannath came, that there was, you know, once a solar eclipse was there, and then Krishna, Balaram, with all his Dwarka entourage, he went to that Kurukshetra, the place of pilgrimage, because of that solar eclipse, to take bath in the river. And even the Vrajavasis from Vrindavan, they also came to know that how Krishna and Balaram with all his, you know, the whole entourage is coming, and they also have that feeling that we should go and meet Krishna and Balaram. So everybody went, but the Dwarkas, the Dwarkavasis, they, we know that they are in the mood of Aishwarya, whereas the Vrajavasis, they are in the mood of Madhurya. So there, the queens of Krishna, this Krishna, Dwarka Krishna, they just went to one of the, you know, tent of Rohini Devi, and they said that we want to hear about the pastimes of Krishna of Vrindavan. So can you please explain, and, you know, you can just share those pastimes. And Rohini Devi said that they are so intimate pastimes that I just cannot disclose openly, and I really don't want Krishna and Balaram to hear all this. So what they do, they made Subhadra Devi to stand at the door to prevent anyone to come inside. And then finally, when she was, you know, all she was telling the intimate pastimes, at that time Subhadra Devi was so much engrossed in hearing the pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan, of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan, that she forgot for what purpose she was made to stand on the door. And Krishna and Balaram came, and she was not cognizant of their presence, that, you know, they both are standing. And Krishna and Balaram also heard how Rohini Devi was narrating the lamentation of Rajvasis when Krishna left Vrindavan. So Krishna and Balaram, they came to the door and they stood on Subhadra's left side. Subhadra's left side is Krishna, Jagannath, and right side is Balaram. So they both stood together, and they also heard all the pastimes, and they become so ecstatic that their internal feelings were exhibited externally. So what happened is that their eyes became dilated. We know the eyes of Jagannath, Baldev, you know, it's so much dilated, and their heads got compressed in because there is no neck, and their limbs got, you know, shivered up, and basically it got retracted. And when all this happened, even Subhadra Devi, when she became cognizant of the presence of Krishna and Balaram, she also assumed that same form. And seeing that form, Narad Muni was so much happy. And he said that this is the form of ecstasy. This is the form of Krishna having experiencing that separation from Vrajvasis. So he literally prayed to Krishna that I want to see this form of yours eternally. And then we know the pastime of Indradumna, King Indradumna, that how through his via medium, Krishna, that Neela Madhava, he came as Jagannath, and then there was a huge log that was brought in. I don't think so. We have time to discuss that whole pastime, but we all know that story, this pastime, that how then from a log, from the wooden log which was there in the ocean, that how this three deities of Jagannath, Baldev, and Subhadra Mai were carved. So therefore, Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying that Jagannath chose himself to be fixed because he is immovable. He's made up of wood and he cannot move, you know. So that's the desire of Jagannath. Jagannath himself wants it to be do. And then he says, Tanha saha atmana eka rupahana, Krishna eka tattva rupa dui rupahana. Then he says, Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, though they are appearing as two, but they are one because they both are Krishna. They both are Krishna. Jagannath is in the mood where he is experiencing that separation from Vrajabhav. He is experiencing that separation from Vrajavasis, from his dear intimate associates. So that's the form that, you know, Krishna took that form of Jagannath when he was totally ecstatic and was showing that ecstatic symptoms. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know that external reasons of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he also want to taste that mellow, that devotee taste when they worship their Lord. So he came as devotee. So he's saying, though they appear as two, but they both are one. They both are Krishna. And why they both appeared? Then he gives this quote in text number 150. Samsara tarana hetu yahi iccha shakti. Tahara milana kari ekata yaicha prapti. So just to the desire that the Supreme Lord have to deliver this entire world, this meets in the two of them. And for that reason, they both are one and same. So there Swarup Damodar Goswami establishes this point to the Brahmana poet that whatever you are saying is not right because there is no difference between Krishna and between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jagannath because they both are one, they both are same. To deliver all the materially contaminated people of the world, Krishna has descended in the moving form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In non-moving form, he is like Jagannath. So people, he stays in Jagannath, he stays in Puri, and he comes as Jagannath, and he stays in Jagannath Puri, and then people can go and visit him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a moving form where he can go to various places and deliver this entire world. And then he says that by visiting Lord Jagannath, one is freed from material existence. But we know that everybody is not allowed to come. Everybody is not allowed to enter into that temple of Puri, of Jagannath Puri. So how other people who are not allowed to enter into that temple, how they will get benefit, how they will be freed from material existence. And then for them, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came, he took his avatar, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he moves from one country to another. So he is basically, you know, he's saying, Swarup Damodar Goswami is saying that he is the moving Brahman who delivers all the people of the world. It's not that one is body and one is soul. Please don't say that. That's what his plea is to Brahmana. No, don't say that. It's just that one is the moving Brahman because he wants to deliver, and the other Jagannath, he chose to become immovable so that people can come to him and get liberated. And you know, this is the point that he established. And finally, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami can say, first of all, then yes, Swarup Damodar Goswami says that, you know, I have explained you now hidden meaning, what Saraswati, the goddess of learning, is there. And then he praised that brahmana, that it's your good fortune that you were able to describe Lord Jagannath and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that way, because his verse was perfect but his interpretation was wrong. So as we know that sometimes the Sanskrit words are okay, but how we interpret it, that makes a huge lot of difference. So then even Sarup Damodar Goswami says that Krishna gali dite kara nama uccharana sei nama hayatara mukti rakarana. He says sometimes it so happens that one who wants to chastise Krishna, they utter the holy name, and thus the holy name becomes the cause of his liberation. And we know the classic example that how in Harinam Chintamani, when the same question was asked by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Haridas Thakur, that how these people who are so averse to Krishna, how they will get liberated. And Haridas Thakur said that they are so used to utter that abominable word that is haram, but the moment they say haram, Saraswati Devi, the goddess of learning, is so kind that she takes it as haram, that O Ram, right? So that becomes the holy name itself. So he's saying that even if one wants to chastise Krishna and utters the holy name becomes the cause of their liberation. And to this also, we have the classic example we read in Lilamrita, Prabhupada Lilamrita, that how when Prabhupada came and brought the whole big revolution in this Western world, there were so many reporters who were just blaspheming, and they saying these Hare Krishnas are like this, these Hare Krishnas do this and they are like this. And the reporters were simply blaspheming the Hare Krishnas. And then one of the disciples of Prabhupada came to Prabhupada and said that, you know, they are simply blaspheming us. So Prabhupada said, don't worry. At least in blaspheming also, they are using the word Hare Krishna. So this Hare Krishna itself, the holy name, is so potent that irrespective how we take, it shows its magic. Now that doesn't give us the undue advantage that we can just, you know, go on saying that. So the point what it is that though holy name itself is so potent, but still we should try to say it with full attention. We should try to be favorable. Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Ruttamam. So no doubt Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, they were so much engrossed in the thought of Krishna, but still we don't worship them. We don't categorize them in the category of devotee, right? Why? Because their remembrance of Krishna was pratikul, was not favorable to Krishna, because they want to destroy Krishna, they want to kill Krishna, they want to blaspheme Krishna. So what the point to understand is that even if those who say pratikul, who say something against but are being taken as the words of offering by Saraswati Devi, then what to talk about those devotees who are always saying in a favorable mood this holy name, who are always reciting the holy name in that favorable mood towards Krishna. So definitely they have one step higher. But Narad Muni also says, yena kena prakarena, that either way, we should always try to remember Krishna. And then Sarup Damodar Goswami, you know, after hearing that whole explanation, that Bengali poet, you know, he fell down at the feet of all the devotees and he took shelter with utter humility, you know, he took shelter on all of them. And then the devotees accepted his association, and finally he was introduced to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And by the mercy of devotees, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that poet from Bengal, they gave up all the other activities and they finally stayed there in Puri. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is saying that who can explain the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees? So no doubt Mahaprabhu is so magnanimous, but his devotees, his intimate devotees, are more magnanimous. That's why it is said that if we want bhakti, we should approach bhaktas. Through devotees only, the bhakti will come. And then finally, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami summarizes, well, he ended this pastime in here, but then he summarizes that what he covered in this whole chapter. And then he described that first, he explained that how Pradyumna Mishra, he was listening that Krishna Katha from Ramananda Rai. Then he described the glories of Ramananda Rai, through whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described the limits of that ecstatic love for Krishna. And then finally, this drama of the Bengal poet, although he was ignorant, although he was innocent, but because he has great faith, and of course, because of the great possession, the great ornament of humility, he took shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. And then in 162 verse, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Leela Amrita Sara Eka Leela Pravay Vahi Sata Sata Dhara. So Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he gives the Falashruti. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives the Falashruti, and he says that Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are the essence of nectar. And from the stream of one pastime flow thousands and hundreds and thousands of branches. So then he says that Shraddha Kari Ei Leela Yadi Pade Shune. If anyone who reads this whole pastime or hears, Pade and Sune means one who studies and one who reads. Sune means one who hears. Shraddha Kari, with full faith, Gaura Leela Bhakti Bhakta Rasa Tattva Jane. That person who understands, who reads and hears the pastimes of that Supreme Lord of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith, through Shraddha and with love, they can understand the truth, the Tattva of Bhakti, their devotees and their mellows, their relationship with the Lord, their rasas. So that's the very important verse, that how Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami establishes that if anyone who reads and hears the pastimes with faith and love, they can understand the truth, the tattva of devotional service, devotees and transcendental mellows, their rasas of the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So how much important it is that whenever we take up this Chaitanya Charitamrita, we should hear it with full faith, with love, you know, without any samshaya, without any doubt, we should hear these pastimes, all these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is all being described by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. That how important it is, because only then, you know, the whole knowledge, the Krishna conscious philosophy will be revealed. And that's why it is said that it is a PhD level course. It's not PhD because, you know, it's something very difficult to understand, but it's difficult to comprehend. So that can only happen when one has the deep understanding, the deep love for Mahaprabhu, and we hear it with that faith without any doubt. And finally, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes the most celebrated verse that he quotes after the end of every chapter. Shri Rupa Raghunatha Pade Yara Asa Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishnadasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Shri Rupa and Shri Raghunatha, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishnadas, narrate Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. So with this, we have ended this whole fifth chapter of Ante Leela. And Monday, we'll start with chapter number 6, where Mahaprabhu is now will meet with Raghunath Das Goswami. Okay. So thank you all so much. Shala Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much. Such a beautiful class. And I really loved the way you covered those verses from the Bhagavatam, Shishupala and Jarasandha, and then Hiranyakashipu as well. And thank you for your slides. So nicely done with these flow charts and arrow marks. It was so sweet. Thank you. Thank you for that effort, Mataji. It was so nice to understand and see and understand. Thank you. And really, yes, it was a very nice chapter. Especially one thing I liked about the poet is the humility. Even the other day, you know, Hariprasad Prabhu, when he was starting the class, he was talking about how hard it is actually to compose poetry. And then after that, you get criticized about it. So putting yourself in the shoes of the poet. And then finally, he turns out very humble and he accepts and he's ready to correct himself. I think that is so applicable to everyone in Krishna consciousness, mm-hmm. because no one is perfect. We keep making so many mistakes. And I think, it is so important to be open to constructive criticism so that we can improve ourselves. That is something that I really found in this chapter. It's very, very inspiring. Definitely a take-home message for me that I should learn to be, more accepting and embracing these things. So thank you so much, Mataji. The way you explained it made it very sweet and very accepting. Thank you. And also when you were talking about the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he's actually moving around giving mercy. And how this Krishna consciousness movement continues to move around giving mercy everywhere. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is amazing and his devotees are amazing. As you said, Swarup Damodar was the merciful one here. And definitely we see that continuing now, the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how merciful they are in giving this mercy of Jagannath. So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Beautiful finish for this chapter.
Thank you. Thank you so much for giving this opportunity. And you really summarized the chapter so well with a beautiful take-home message that, yes, we should accept the constructive criticism coming from anyone. You know, yes, we all have imperfect senses. We all have tendency to make mistakes. We are all illusioned. But this is how, we can take up that constructive criticism and we can accept it. And because we should understand that it is for my improvement. It is for my benefit only. Something is coming up. So we should all be ready to accept it. And with full humility. Not with arrogance, but with full humility, we should accept it. So thank you so much. And regarding the slides, my credit goes to my son, Ujjwal Rasanand Das, because he's the one who helped me. I was just discussing with him that this is what I'm planning to say something in the class. And then, he said that, if you make it a slide, if you make it in a presentation form, it will be more benefit, that you will
understand
it well. So I said, no, I'm not that tech kind of person. And then he stayed till 1 o'clock in the night because he has his exam yesterday. So after the exam, he spent 2-3 hours and then he made all this. And with that, I'm so happy that he was also able to study these verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it was
amazing. Very, very nice. Really, really, a big thank you and really wonderful. I just want to congratulate Ujjwal for such a wonderful show. Thank you so much, Mataji. So much dedication.
Yeah, thank you. You were saying something, Preeti Mother?
I said a big thanks and a big congrats to Ujjwal for such hard work. Thank you so much. I mean, it's so nice. it's so beneficial. I mean, so many people are getting access to this. So it's so nice that he did all this hard work. So a big thanks to him, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Anyone else has anything to say?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Very, very beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for explaining so many different ways how Saraswati Devi was trying to, convince Lord. I mean, like trying to give the right glorification to the Lord when the devotees are like human beings like Shishupal and Hiranyakashipu. Everybody was trying to blaspheme the Lord, which was so nice, Mataji. Hope Saraswati Devi does for us also when we are chanting and we are not properly chanting it, so that our offenses goes less. It is very, very nice. You gave so many, because previous week's classes, we were hearing only about that Bengali poet and also one more pandit, right? The pandit name, always I forget the pandit name. I forgot. Digvijaya Pandit, right? That example. Yeah, that example only we were hearing. Today you brought up another few examples. Thank you so much, Mataji. It was very, very nice. And you were also talking about the pastime of
Lord Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, how they have appeared and how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. They are not just not idol or anything. They are him, they are themselves, you know, they are present. It's not like that. And you are explaining how we should not compare them to be as a human being or just dull matter, you know. They are themselves, they are supreme, and Lord is present over there. Very beautiful, Mataji, very beautiful, beautiful class. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Meeta Gandharvika Mataji. Thank you for all your services. Practically, I think so, you are in every class. So, all glories to you. Thank you. Okay, we have anything else?
Hare Krishna, Kirtita Sundari Mataji, Dandal Pranam. Thank you for such a beautiful class. Mataji, is it possible to share the slides? Or?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, the slides are very beautiful and it's so easy to understand. And it's so nice to see how the different meanings and we can get out of the same word. It was so beautiful.
Okay, I'll do that.
How is that possible in Sanskrit, Mataji? Why is it maybe possible? We don't see that in other languages.
Yeah, because Sanskrit is such a language which has a different meaning to it. All the words have a different meaning to it.
So based on context?
Based on context. You know, once Haripashat Prabhu was sharing, I'll just share you the verse if I remember it. I don't know. It says, Keshav Patita Drishta Pandava Harsha Nirbhara Rudanti Kaurava Sarve Haha Keshava Keshava. So he was quoting this verse and he was telling me when he was there with me, you know, he last year he stayed with us. And then he was saying, Keshava Patita Drishtva means seeing Keshava, means Lord, falling down. Pandava Harsha Nirbhara, all the Pandavas were very happy. And Rudanti Kaurava Sarve, and all the Kauravas were crying, and they were crying, ha ha, Keshava, Keshava, that my Keshava has fallen down from the chariot. So now if we see this verse, you know, it's quite apt, you know. But have we ever noticed that ever this thing happened when Krishna is falling down and Pandavas are happy and Kauravas are crying? No, it doesn't happen. This pastime doesn't exist at all. So there is a hidden meaning to it. Keshava. K means the surface of water. K in Sanskrit, the word, only the word K in Sanskrit means the surface of water. And Shava means the dead body. So Drishtva, one who sees, so those who see the dead body on the surface of the water. Keshava Patita Drishta, seeing that dead body on the surface of water. Pandava Harsha Nirbhara, Pandavas, they were very joyful, very happy. Now, who are Pandavas? Pa means those who are born. And Andava means those who are born from that egg. So Pandava also means fishes. So seeing the dead body on the surface of the water, all the fishes were rejoicing. They were happy because now it's a treat for them. And Rudanti Kaurava Sarve. So all Rudanti means crying. All Kauravas were crying. Now Kaurava, cow means a very bad sound. And who are Kaurava? They are wolf jackals. They are crying and they are saying, hey Keshava, Keshava means, oh dead body, because if that dead body would have been on land, then all these wolf jackals, all these bad sound making animals, you know, they would have rejoiced. But now since that dead body is on the surface of the water, all the fishes and the aquatic animals, they are rejoicing. So now you see the difference. Together, the meaning changed.
Well, and it's for that one reason also that we find that, okay, these may or may not. That's why the concept of mythological stories have also come in, because you don't know, okay, where is it actually Mahabharata and where is it not?
So that's what, you know, this point is very important, that we should always study under the guidance of a spiritual master. or the spiritual mentors. When we study under the guidance, we get the real meaning out of it and we can imbibe that essence of that whole Vedic knowledge. So that's why it is very important. Otherwise, this Vedas, it's a huge tree. It's a huge tree. You know, if we try to get ourselves and we try with our own endeavor to understand, we'll be lost in that forest of Vedas. But if we do it under the guidance of the spiritual master, then the proper path will be laid down for us, because spiritual master, he resides in that forest and he knows that what is there in Vedas and how, which section to approach and which section to avoid. So, you know, therefore, it is very important that all the scriptural knowledge, this Vedic knowledge should be read, should be understood under the guidance of the spiritual master.
Absolutely. So Mataji, in that same continuing on with that discussion, I would like to ask on the last second last verse that you were reading. So you mentioned that people who hear these pastimes with faith. So how do we develop that faith, especially like when even when we read, of course, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I haven't even started, but when we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, some of those stories have so many names and just describing different characters. Some of them seem so mundane. So how do we not see them as a regular mundane literature and then understand that this is something very different and transcendental?
Therefore, the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is very important, where Vyasadeva establishes this point that Krishna swadham upagate, that when Krishna left to his eternal abode, dharma artha jnanabhi, he took everything, right? But then he arose in the form of this Srimad Bhagavatam as the brilliant shining sun. So when we understand that, we'll understand that this is not an ordinary mundane scripture, okay? This is not something story of mundane philosophical point. But rather, this is Krishna himself who is appearing in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we develop, you know, that's why Prabhupada always says, go from first canto and then proceed to the 10th canto and further on, and then come to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Because when we have that, when our feet are fully established in that point that yes, Krishna is supreme and the supremacy of Krishna, then we can really understand the sweetness of Krishna and the sweetness of his devotees. So it is very important to have that faith. That Adho Shraddha is very, very important. And that Shraddha, it's not a prerequisite to have that full Shraddha, you know, that full trust, because that will eventually come. But some little kind of faith is always needed. Even in the material world, we do put some faith in some material aspects, only then we can proceed further. For example, if I have a fever, I go to a doctor. How many times I'll check the degree of doctor from which university he or she has done his doctor degree and whether he passed or whether failed or so and so forth. No, I put some little kind of faith in the doctor and that what the prescription is being given to us by the doctor, and then we accept it, and then eventually when we accept that prescription, we take that medicine, we see the result. And when we see the result, what happens is that we get experience, right? And when we get that experience, we develop more faith. And when we get more faith, we spread the word. The word of mouth, we spread it through or to all other people about that doctor, about that medicine, about our own experience. Even when we go to an airplane, we have some kind of little faith in that pilot, in that airline, and eventually we develop that trust. So similarly, this thing happened. If this works in material life, then definitely in spiritual life also, some little kind of faith is very, very important. And then Bhagavad Gita also says that Prabhupada in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita, he says that what mood you have to read Bhagavad Gita. That purpose and spirit of Bhagavad Gita is coming later. That what's the spirit of Bhagavad Gita? What's the purpose of Bhagavad Gita? But the point is, he's saying that till the time you don't develop full trust, at least have that minimum faith that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. And with that little understanding, read Bhagavad Gita. So when you read that Bhagavad Gita with that little amount of faith, then everything will be, you know, revealed to you. So the verses of Bhagavad Gita will be revealed. So I hope that answers, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Very beautiful answer.
Hare Krishna, Ji Kirtina Sundari Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Tilak
Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Before you start, I want to say something. You know, we always say that my classes are always so technical, it's so hard to understand. But eventually, you know, you have started grabbing what I say. So when my son was making this presentation, I was simply thinking of you that it will be easier for you to understand.
Our friends go to Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev that now at least 65-70% understand your Mataji. So nicely explained about, you see, Jagannath Balram and Subhadrani is not deities. They are sitting in our heart and they are watching us, what we are doing. And Mataji, second part, criticism. When somebody is criticized, we have to take it positively, because whether it's Vaishnava or non-Vaishnava, Mataji, they are passing in maybe so much hard time, and unconsciously they hurt. That is not that meaning to hurt us. So always we have to take it positively. And Sisi Jagannath Balram Subhadra Rani is always sitting in our heart, and we, Mataji so nicely explained that we should not do a Vaishnava prat, stay far. And somehow by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Gurudev, now I understand, Mataji, your lecture. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai, jai jai Nityananda, jai jai Gauranga. Because I am not reading, that is not your fault. I am not reading Sisi Chaitanya Charitamrita.
No, Mataji, so that is my fault. You are listening, right? You are so sincere, so attentive in the classes. So every day you are hearing Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's so wonderful.
Yes, Mataji, but not reading properly, but now started, Mataji, like a baby is crawling and then holding the sofa and dining table. Now in that stage, Mataji. Hari bol, Hare Krishna. So that is not your fault, Mataji. Koti koti danvat pranam.
We are all on the same pace. We all are struggling to survive, but eventually with the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we'll be able to run in our spiritual life. Right now, we all are holding some desk, some support we are taking just to walk. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mataji, sing any one stanza, whatever you like. We know you are so tired.
No, no, Mataji, definitely. I'll sing. Definitely. Anyone else has any questions, any comments?
Yeah. I wanted to add to what Vrinda Gopika Mataji was telling. Mataji, so when we talk about a class being technical or something, it's not the speaker's fault. It is the content that is there in the subject matter. So a honest and a very straightforward speaker would definitely present whatever is there as it is. Why should one compromise on the content or on the philosophy? So I think that is what exactly you're doing. And that is, I really appreciate that. And maybe if you compromise on them, that is when I would feel very bad. So whatever you're doing so far has been simply amazing. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Preeti Vilasini Mataji. That reminds me of a very beautiful verse by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. In the start of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that don't consider Chaitanya Charitamrita to be the ordinary book. Definitely this book is full of philosophy. And he says, Siddhanta Chitta Valiye Nakara Alas Eha Haite Krishna Lage Sudrid Manas. Now, don't compromise on that Siddhanta. Don't compromise of understanding that philosophy. Because once you understand that philosophy, as Indu Mataji was also asking, once one understand that philosophy, then haite Krishna lage sudrid manas, then our determination towards understanding Krishna will be so much strong that bandha, that bondage towards Krishna will be so strong. So we should never compromise in understanding whenever some tattva or some philosophical points come in.
Right. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
Jai Ho, Mataji. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam.
Yeah,
Dandavat
Pranam, Prabhu.
Yeah, I have one picture of one of the sannyasis from coming from the Gaudiya Sampradaya.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to show the picture of him. One second. Thank you.
Can somebody spotlight?
He is a Narayan Swami. He was established the Narayan Mutt in Gujarat, Baroda.
Mm-hmm.
And the devotee, he's in early age of 6, he got the message from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that your birth is for to preaching out and realize the God. He got first initiations also done with the under guidance of the one sannyasi. He's the doing worshipping also the Saraswati Mata.
Mm-hmm.
And this Narayan Swami gave us the Saraswati Mantra, and they were reciting also Saraswati Stotram every time. Mm-hmm. That Saraswati, please give us a proper understanding of all those Vedic literature, and also please give us a guidance in our pure bhakti also. So he has given us some, they were reciting all the time the Saraswati Stotram, and the Saraswati Stotram was given is about like a total 12 slokas in it. It's a very long one.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very, very auspicious that see all the Gaudiya Sampradaya is sannyasis also. They were protected also by the Saraswati Mata, and giving us also the nice benefit of spiritual advancement.
Thank you. Thank you.
So just I want to mention about him that in early age of his life, he got the message from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And following the footstep of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Saraswati Mata also protected him for so many in advancement for the spiritual journey.
Thank you for sharing. Okay, anyone else has anything to say?
Hare Krishna, Kirtida Sundari Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Kamadaki Mataji.
Very, very wonderful class, and how you collected all these last famous words of the different grades of devotees. And maybe not practicing devotees or whatever. And it's very nice that Saraswati Devi uses those words and prays with the praying. It's very nice. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Okay, dear devotees, so if we don't have any further questions and comments, we'll honor Vinda Gopika Mataji's request and then we'll conclude today's session. So this song is by Vasudeva Ghosh, and recently we celebrated his disappearance day. It was last Monday, this Monday only, I think. So yeah, this Monday was the disappearance day of Vasudeva Ghosh. And this song, this prayer is wrapped to what we did today, that there is no difference between Lord Jagannath, Gaura, and there is no difference between Krishna. So I'll share again my screen and we'll sing this song. We all know this song. It's a very famous song, but very wrapped to our discussion today. Jai Jai Jagannath Sachiranandan Tribhuvane Kore Jar Charana Vandan Nila Chale Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Dhar Nadiya Nagare Randa Kamandalu Kar Keho Bole Pura Bete Ravan Badila Golokarave Pavlila Prakash Korila Shri Radhar Bhave Bhagura Avatar Hare
Krishna naam Gaura karila prachar Vasudev Ghosh bole kori joda hat Jai Gaura sei Krishna sei Jagannath Jai Gaura sei Krishna sei Jagannath Jai Jai Jagannath Sachiranandan Vibhuvane kori jar charana vandan
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much Mataji for such a wonderful class.
Thank you.
I was outside so I couldn't ask any questions. But Mataji, it was so wonderful to hear about Lord Jagannath, Gauranga, Saraswati Mataji and all the devotees of Krishna. In your one class, we got like a treat, you know, like mixed with so many sweets in a box, you know. And I also was remembering Mataji, like when Valmiki Rishi, he was composing Ramayana in the introduction, we used to know, right? Mm-hmm. He saw the hunter killing the birds and yeah, he composed a verse and he thought it's a curse.
Yeah.
But Brahmaji said, he altered it and he made it as a, he said, you successfully, like you composed your first verse.
Wow.
So like how much the demigods, they're taking like a filter, they're making sure that only the... What do you say? Only the prayers are reaching Krishna.
Yes.
So they're so much merciful on us that we don't make any aparad. Thank you, Mataji. So wonderful class, Mataji. And thank you so much. Jai Sachinandana, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Lakshmi Mataji, for bringing up that point. And whenever I hear the word Ramayana, I remember Preeti Vilasini Mataji, how beautifully she covered. And I still remember the verse she touched upon. That verse you are referring to. So, yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that. Another example. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Kitida Mataji. Thank you once again for your very beautiful class, Mataji. Mataji, I have a small doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So Mataji, regarding Saraswati Devi, Goddess Saraswati Devi, so we pray at the starting of reading Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Narayanam Namaskrityam, so in that we get Saraswati Mata.
Yeah.
So why we are not doing the same like a mantra for reading Bhagavad Gita or Chaitanya Charitamrita or other scriptures, Mataji?
There is no harm. Even, you know, that it doesn't mean that, you know, that Nashtakayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati
Uttamashrake Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki.
And then next is
First is Narayana Namaskar Narayanam Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasim Tadoje Udigrahit.
So that doesn't mean that, you know, these two verses are only to be said when we say Bhagavatam. These two verses are the eternal verses. We can always sing as a Mangalacharan, as a glorification, when we are reading any scriptures, whether it's Bhagavad Gita or whether it's Chaitanya Charitamrita. There is no protocol as such we can follow. And when it says Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottamam, so there Vyasadeva is offering his obeisances to Narayana.
Mm-hmm.
Naram Chaiva Narottam, Devim Saraswati. And he also wants to pay his obeisances to Saraswati Devi because it's only the blessings of Saraswati Devi that he could understand the whole Vedic injunctions, the whole Vedic knowledge. And then he can imbibe that. Devim Saraswati Vyasa. And then he also wants to, this is by Shaunak Rishi that he is saying. So Vyasadev, and he also wants to glorify Vyasadev. So instead of glorifying separately, you know, in three other verses, like Narayana, then Saraswati Devi, then Vyasadev. So he in one verse he says that Devim Saraswati Vyasa, and then
Tatojaya Udiraya,
that all glory to all three of them.
Mm.
So there is no protocol. We can always say these verses when we are saying either Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita or always recite these verses. Because yes, it's the mercy of Saraswati Devi only. But at the same time, we have to understand that Saraswati Devi is subservient to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we have that pastime of Keshava Bharati, that how Saraswati Devi appeared in the dream of Keshava Bharati, saying that today I didn't support you because there was an argument with my master. So when master is involved, definitely I'm subservient to my master. So I cannot support you at that time. So we should understand that this everything is coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu only. So
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Yes, Mataji, got it clear. And Mataji, regarding this Mata Saraswati, so we have Hayagriva also. So in Vishnu avatars, we see Hayagriva is the lord of studies. So
who came in the horse incarnation and then protected the Vedas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So so in this connection, Mataji, how should we think, who should we give first obeisances, like Mother Saraswati or Hayagriva? Reading any scriptures or doing any kind of studies?
Because he is the incarnation of the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So we should always first pay obeisances to the Supreme Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Even that verse, Narayanam Namaskrityam, right? So he's just doing it to Narayanam.
Okay, okay. There is a separate sloka for Hayagriva, Mataji. While studying, in Indian schools, they teach two kids. I forgot that.
Mataji.
Yeah, maybe Spriti Vilasni, Mataji, can you add something?
Yeah. So, the Hayagriva sloka, Jnanaanandamayam
Jnanaanandamayam Devam.
It was written by an Acharya by the name Vedanta Deshika.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an Acharya written shloka in glorification of Lord Hayagriva. Okay, in the Hayagriva Stuti. So therefore, I mean, if you want to offer that, you can offer that. There is absolutely no worries. But why specifically Narayanam Namaskrityam and we are offering this is because it is in the context with Bhagavatam. And as Kipta Sundar Mataji said, that Narayana is first paid obeisance.
Hmm. Okay, okay. Yeah, understood, Mataji. Yeah, for long time I have this confusion. So, Mother Saraswati or Hayagriva, who should we start with obeisances, paying our obeisances first?
Yeah, so it depends on also how you see Mother Saraswati. You're seeing Mother Saraswati in context with.
Mataji, Preeti Mataji? We cannot hear you.
See, there is also the spiritual aspect of Saraswati. We do Narayana Namaskrityam is because it is directly in the Bhagavatam. It is in context to glorify the Bhagavatam. And as she said, Narayana is first glorified, right? So there is no worries. And if you have an inclination to do Hayagriva Mantram, that is fine, Mataji.
Okay, okay, got it. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much, Kutida Mataji.
It is not a Hayagriva Jnanaanandam, is why you're, I mean, I understand why you're asking that question. It is not directly a Purana mantra or a Vedic mantra.
Oh, okay.
Like that. It's a but it is nothing less effective. So that also.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, Mataji. Yeah. So it is not any from Purana or any like scriptures.
Anything written by an Acharya, ultimately, like, you know, when you write prayers, like you have so many prayers composed by all our Purva Acharyas, right? So they write, they write Ashtakams. It is like that, Mataji. So Hayagriva Stotram is written by Vedanta Deshika. In that, he starts off with Jnanaanandamayam. That is the first introductory shloka, like the Nandi shloka of Hayagriva Stotram. It begins with that. And then goes on composing. If you have heard the Hayagriva Stotram, it will have many shlokas. The first shloka that is Jnanaanandamayam. It's an introductory of that composition.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and anything written by an Acharya is definitely extremely worshipable. But it is in a different genre, right? It was written by an Acharya, like a stuti, a glorification of the Lord written by an Acharya. Hayagriva mantra is available in many Upanishads. That is different. Okay.
Yes, Mataji. Now got good clarification of Hayagriva mantra and this the Stuti and the Saraswati Mata's mantra also. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much, Kritida Mataji, for again beautiful class and beautiful bhajan at the end, Mataji. Like it's very so nice. Thank you so much, Mataji. So, Mataji, with your permission and the permission of devotees on the call, shall we end the call, Mataji?
Yes, sure. Definitely.
Okay. Okay, thank you so much, Mataji, once again for giving your valuable time and association. And thank you so much to all the assembled devotees. Vancha kalpatarubhyasya kripa sindhu bhyayevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Anantakoti vaishnavrindhi ki jai. Namachari Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Har Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji ki jai.
Jai.
Thank you so Hare much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.